Good morning. This is Evangelist June McKinnon from Grace Place Church of God in Christ. I'm here this morning to share the Word of God with you. The title of my message this morning is The Good Plan. I'm sure many of you made a few New Year's resolutions. Maybe you decided to go on a diet to get rid of those extra pounds you gained after consuming all the wonderful meals during the Christmas season. Some of you may have signed up for a new gym membership with the plan to work out 4 or 5 times a week. And some of you may have decided to go back to school and get that degree that you have been putting off for a very long time. You say to yourself, I am going to change. I have a plan to make the change possible. The question I ask you this morning is your plan God-directed or self-directed? Did you seek God in prayer, or is the plan set up by you? You might say to me that your plan is a good plan. My question to you then would be, is it God's plan for you? Did you seek God in prayer when you were making your New Year's resolutions? What we might consider a good plan, it is not a good plan if we did not seek God's guidance when we made the plan. I read recently that there are statistics that state that only 8% of people who make New Year resolutions are successful in achieving their resolutions. This means that there is a 92% failure rate. Those are poor, very poor results. We have to look at making plans God's way. So I'm here this morning to say to you that if your plan is directed by the Lord, your plan is a good plan and you will have good success. Let's talk about the plan. Will it demand work? Yes. Will it require seeking God and much prayer? Yes. Will it require sacrifice? Yes. Will it require trust in God? Oh, yes. Will it test your faith? Oh, yes. Let me share with you this morning an event from the Old Testament. It's regarding God's plan. There was a time in the Old Testament days when the people of God was faced with accepting God's plan or listening to the voices of the false prophets. This was a very dark time for the people of God. They were in captivity in Babylon, and they were longing to return to their homeland. God gave his plan to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. And I want to read for you the words from Jeremiah 29. I'm reading beginning from verse 10, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It states that this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the plan that God had for his people in captivity. I like how the Message Bible states the words of Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. It states, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. God knows what he's doing all the time. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Verse 12 continues and it says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. Talking about relationship with God. Yes. When you come looking for me, you will find me. It demands us seeking the Lord. Yes. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. The assurance of God's word. God's plan for his people during captivity in Babylon was not a plan of doom, but it was a plan to give them hope and a future. He provided direction for their daily lives. In other words, he told them how to live. This is how you live while you're in Babylon. And you live that way for 70 years, and I'm going to come as you seek me, as you develop that relationship with me, I'm going to bring you out of captivity. His words of assurance for the people, his words of hope for his people. So in Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 9, God gave the plan to give them that future and that hope that we just read. And in verse 4, he starts off, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, and I'll start from verse 4. He states that this is the message from God of the angel armies. God's Israel's God. to all the exiles I have taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and make yourselves a home. Put in gardens and eat what grows in that country. He's telling them how to live their daily lives. Verse 6. Marry and have children. Encourage your children to marry and have children, so that you will strive in that country and not waste away. He's telling them, get a life in Babylon. This is how you live. Verse 7, he says, make yourselves a home there and work for the country's welfare. He tells you how to relate to the people in the country that you are held captivity. He said, make it your home. This is how you live. In verse, he continues and he says, pray for Babylon's well-being. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. So now he is telling you, you have this responsibility while you are in captivity to pray for those that held you in captivity. Just like God. Not man's way, God's way. Verse 8 and 9, he says, yes, believe it or not, this is the message from God of the angel armies, Israel's God. Don't let all those so-called preachers and know-it-alls who are all over the place there take you in with their lies. Stop listening to those voices. The scripture continues, don't pay any attention to the fantasies they keep coming up with to please you. They are a bunch of liars preaching lies and claiming I sent them. I never sent them. Believe me, God's decree. So God is saying, listen, the assurance comes from my words, from my promises, not from the lies that you're hearing from the other voices. Put that away and examine what I am saying to you. So when we see this happening to God's people, where a plan is laid out, how much more would he have a plan for you? As we look at this event in the Old Testament, we can examine the life of Daniel, who lived through the Babylonian captivity. As we examine Daniel's life, we see that he was taken into Babylon as a young man, as a youth. But he lived according to God's plan. Was he challenged? Yes, but he kept faithful. When his faith was challenged, he held on to that relationship he had with God. He never wavered. He did what was scripturally correct and not what was politically correct of his day. He stood firm on God's word. Yes, he continued to open the window and pray to his God every day in the midst of the enemy attacks. Yes, the results were not going to be great, but he trusted God. That what was his faith. You need that trust. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested if you want to live God's plan, the good plan. God's plan is the good plan because it is directed by the Lord. It is not what you want. It is not all about you. Neither does it succumb to the voices of those who may have your interests. They might not. Girlfriend might not be telling you the right thing. Your best friend might not be telling you the best thing. It is God's plan. So it demands ongoing relationship with the Lord. Seek the Lord with your whole heart. Not once in a while or only if you have a problem. We are talking about a relationship, an intimacy that comes from knowing Him. And it is also very important, like Daniel, the example of Daniel. You have to be obedient to the direction of His plan. Do not give in to the feeling of doubt that the enemy may bring to you. You have to remember that God's plan is rooted in His promises. And as you remind yourself of God's promises, you will be able to stand the attacks from the enemy. Yes, the enemy will attack you with seeds of doubt. Yes, as they made plans to trap Daniel in so many ways, the enemy will also make plans to trap you. They will plant seeds of doubt, and you will begin to question yourself. Is this really what God told me to do? I am not quite sure I should go this way. Questions. Seeds of doubt taking root. If you allow these seeds of doubt to take root, you will begin to worry. And worrying will immobilize you. And this is exactly what the enemy wants. You will begin to look to your strengths, look to your own wisdom in handling the situations in your life. You will stop listening to the promises God has planned for you. Because doubt, seeds of doubt will grow and bring worry into your mind. Jesus had a lot to say about that. Listen to what Jesus said about worry. In Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. The word said, I say to you, the words of the Lord, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It's a faith thing. Faith matters. The Lord continues and says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? for after all these things the Gentiles seek. These are the things that the world seeks. These are the things that concern the world. They are consumed by these things. What shall we eat? They are concerned about, should we go to the newest restaurant that opened? What are we going to have for breakfast, lunch, dinner? It's all about what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Today it might be more like, what shall we smoke? It's the newest thing around. What shall we get involved in? Or what shall we wear? Oh, the new fashions that coming on. Do I have it? We're concerned about that. Your life is consumed about those things. And the Lord said, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. That's what the people of the world seek after. But this is how the Lord deals with these things. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here's the way he wants you to live. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. It is not that God is not concerned about these things. It is not that God does not know that these things are important in living our daily lives. But what he is saying is, I would provide for your needs. I know that you need these things, and this is in my plan. The plan is for me to give you these things. But in order for me to provide for you these things, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And our plans must begin and always have seeking God as the priority. For without it, we end up working a plan that is our plan. That is not the good plan. Any plan that is made on our own is subject to bring us into a situation where we are discontented. We are unhappy. We begin to be fearful. We begin to depend upon ourselves for our provisions. And God is saying, when you seek me, I'm going to direct your path. I know what you need to eat. I know what you need to drink. I know what you need to wear. I provide. He is called Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Didn't he say his grace is sufficient? Yes, we'll be tested like Daniel is tested. We will be brought to our knees when the enemy attacks. But in all this, if we are faithful to the plan that God has given to us, we will have that good success. Yes, faith matters, but it is faith that will make you endure to the end. Let's make 2016 a year that we grow in our relationship with the Lord. If you have not seek God for a plan, or you have made a plan that is all you, I would like to just encourage you to bring that plan to God in prayer. Proverbs 16:9 says, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Yes, He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. If you would seek Him first, it will be a good plan. It will be that plan that is directed by His hand. It will be a plan that will bring you good success. It will be a plan that will test your faith. But it will be a plan that make you grow in your relationship with Him, trust in Him to provide for all your needs. And like Daniel, we can open that window and pray morning, noon, and night, that in spite of the enemy attacks, in spite of what others might say, in spite of what they try to do to you to bring you down, to give you feelings of doubt, all those things would not work, because your plan is a plan that was given by the Lord. It is a good plan, and your good plan would bring good success. Father God, bless the people of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.